This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. As of Sunday, President Bush will have been in office 100 days. The 100-day mark generally is considered an early indicator of how well a new president is doing in office, NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
In a series of public opinion polls taken to mark his first 100 days, President Bush gets solid marks from the American people. His job approval rating is not as high as his father's or Ronald Reagan's, but it's above Bill Clinton's. George W. Bush built his presidential campaign around a critique of Bill Clinton, and his first months in office have been the antithesis of Bill Clinton's messy exit and chaotic start. After 100 days of gaze in the military, cabinet appointees with illegal babysitters, and a series of other setbacks, President Clinton was buried in a blizzard of pundit scorn.
His poll numbers are quite bad. A recent poll shows him not only below 50%, but that a plurality of the country saying the country is now on the wrong track.
Who can't decide that he's president yet? He's still campaigning. I mean, he's got to stop this business of thinking he can manage everything.
100% say they approve of the way Clinton is handling his job. We're going to grade President Clinton on a curve, and Clinton's grade is a C+.
In contrast, political analysts, commentators, and even his Democratic opponents in Congress say President Bush is off to a fairly smooth start. And although 100 days is too short a time frame to determine how much of the new president's agenda will get through Congress, it's not too short a period to get a sense of a new president's leadership style. In almost every way, President Bush is a different kind of leader from his predecessor. Michael Waldman was President Clinton's chief speechwriter.
Presidents are unique in that they get to write the test on which they are then graded. And Clinton, in his first days and years, set out challenges for himself that he then couldn't meet, like passing universal health coverage. Bush, very intelligently, has set out challenges that he can meet or ought to be able to meet.
For example, passing tax cuts in a time of big budget surpluses is easier than raising taxes in order to erase a big budget deficit. And George W. Bush continues to benefit from low expectations. After the Florida recount, many in Washington predicted that Bush would find it impossible to govern. Too much anger from the campaign and too narrow a margin in Congress. But it looks as though he will get a big tax cut, although not as big as the $1.6 trillion package he proposed. And President Bush has not hesitated to retreat when necessary. When one of the pillars of his education plan, vouchers for students in certain low-income school districts, ran into opposition in Congress, President Bush didn't fight to keep it. George Edwards, the director of the Center for Presidential Studies at Texas A&M University, says the new president is continuing the kind of leadership that served him well as governor. Don't overreach, take what you can get, and declare victory.
One of the things that President Bush realized early on was that he didn't have much political capital. And it's not hard to understand that. You don't have a mandate. You don't have a majority of the vote. You don't even have a plurality of the vote. You don't have coattails. And you've got a very narrowly divided Congress.
Fred Greenstein, a political scientist at Princeton University, was invited to the White House recently to share his thoughts on presidential beginnings. Like many other presidential scholars, Greenstein says he's been impressed by President Bush's focus and discipline, but he's puzzled by Mr. Bush's low profile. Greenstein says the president seems very reluctant to embrace the inspirational power of his office.
The president is head of state. He has a symbolic role to play, and he's someone who rallies and energizes the American people, and this president often is hard to be seen.
Other presidents, certainly Bill Clinton, would have gone to Whidbey Island to greet the returning servicemen and women from China, or had more to say after the California school shootings or the race riots in Cincinnati, but not George W. Bush. He keeps his speeches short and his interviews rare, and he doesn't seem to mind that he's not always on page one. Michael Waldman.
Presidents for decades have believed that their greatest strength, maybe especially at the beginning of their term, is their ability to be the big man on the political stage, to reach out to the country using the media and the bully pulpit to sway the public toward their goals, and that in turn would move the Congress. Now, in Clinton's case, he felt he needed to be making news, using the levers of government to stay in the news and help define the agenda. In Bush's case, he seems to feel the answer is to negotiate and do things quietly and behind the scenes. That may work, but he may lose one of his powerful tools of leadership.
In an interview this week on ABC's Good Morning America, the president himself defended his low-key approach.
There are some times when the president's presence can make an enormous difference and sometimes where it might make the situation worse. I get involved in issues where I think I can make a difference. And I'm certainly not camera shy, but if I think my presence is going to complicate a situation or try to hog the limelight from somebody who deserves credit, you won't find me there.
Ari Fleischer, the White House press secretary, says he's heard President Bush reflect that he succeeded two very newsworthy leaders with big personalities who got a lot of press, Texas Governor Ann Richards and President Bill Clinton.
I think the president believes that there's a pendulum to American politics, that after such administrations, that the American people are ready for a little less controversy, a little less news. Maybe after President Bush leaves, hopefully in 8 years, the public will be ready for a little more flamboyancy in the White House.
Democrats who've been searching out the new president's vulnerabilities see George Bush's low profile as a potential weakness. Democratic pollster Jeff Garin has been conducting focus groups to determine what voters think about the new president.
I think what's remarkable about the 100 days is how little people have learned, is that this is 100 days with very few footprints. I'm not sure that President Bush has used this period to create a strong and lasting impression that will serve him well in good times and bad.
Like other pollsters, Garin discovered that while most voters like George Bush as a person and think he's doing a good job as president, they still have doubts about his policies. Large majorities believe that the president favors corporate interests over average Americans, and only a minority of voters believe the new president understands the concerns of ordinary people.
President Clinton, at the end of 100 days, even for people who worried that this was a messy beginning to what turned out to be frequently a messy administration, people felt at the end of 100 days, we've got a president who really cares about us. And then through it all, no matter what else happened to Bill Clinton, no matter what trouble he got himself into, people still felt he cares about me. And that was important. That was politically actionable.
Garin believes that's why Bill Clinton survived all the scandals. He says if voters aren't convinced that President Bush understands their concerns, they could turn against him during an economic downturn. There are also continuing questions about George Bush's intellect and ability to communicate. But the new president has chosen to turn those questions into self-effacing shtick. He jokes about his assault on the English language often. At a press dinner last month, he read from a book called George W. Bushisms.
I actually said this in New Hampshire. I appreciate preservation. It's what you do when you run for president. You got to preserve. I don't have the slightest idea what I was saying there. Or how about this one? More and more of our imports come from overseas.
The first 100 days is not the most accurate predictor of a successful presidency. George Bush's father had a strong start and lost his reelection campaign. Bill Clinton was a near disaster at the outset, but he won a second term. For those who are seeking lessons from the first 100 days, it's easy to draw the wrong conclusions. As George W. Bush himself might say, and actually did say not long ago, don't misunderestimate me. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.